Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
My name is Mel Jacob. I've been ordained for 45 years. I'm an ELCA pastor. I've been fortunate with my ministry and the context in which that has occurred, and every single one of them, the people that I've worked with, my parishioners, have taught me a lot, beginning with parish ministry. That was about 10 years or so, and then got involved, got some additional credentials and some additional degrees, and I utilized that as I moved more in the area of clinical work and maintaining my love for the parish ministry. I've also was an Army Reserve chaplain for 3 decades, and that was a significant part of my story as I've worked with people who are very much not like me. I would say over 98% of the people I work with certainly were not Lutheran, from all different spectrums of our society. And during significant times in our military history and our national history, after the Vietnam War and during the Iraq War, and working with the soldiers and the commands around those times in our national history, I was a chaplain in the VA system for about 7 years, and began to realize as I worked with families, I did a lot of work in psychiatry, as families came, talked about their loved ones who they were physically still there with them, but emotionally were at a different place. So there was ambiguity in their life, and it was a time in which trying to help them to deal with their reality. And then from there, I had the opportunity to develop a pastoral counseling center, beginning from a large congregation in Central Florida. And then we became, after a couple of years, independent, a social ministry organization, the ELCA, and a registered service organization in Missouri Synod, our own 501c3. And it had credentials that allowed me to do therapy in Florida. And as people kept coming, I kept learning around this issue, as well as developing the counseling service, which continues to exist today, fortunately. I retired about 4 years ago, working with all the spectrums in the society of a large metropolitan area, as Orlando is, and had the good fortune of working with pastors from various denominations and church workers and their denominations around issues of congregational health and what takes place in the life of professional church workers. And I began to see again a lot what I would call ambiguous issues that they began to struggle with, and trying to help them deal with it in more healthy ways was one of my challenges, and how they taught me as to what worked and what didn't work. And then I stumbled upon the work of Pauline Boss, researcher out of the University of Minnesota, who researched around ambiguous loss and was very helpful in what she uncovered, which began to put into words and into concepts what I was observing in my ministry and the context of that I've described. I remember one in particular. I had a group there in Orlando in the late 1980s and early 1990s that I called Loved and Diagnosed, in which the families came, and because they had a loved one who had a diagnosis that made them emotionally unavailable, and they worked on dealing with it in more healthy ways. When I say what Dr. Boss helped to put into words, when we have a significant other who is still physically with us but emotionally not with us, that other examples, that loved one could be involved with alcoholism, can be involved in workaholism, is consumed with her work, can be involved with an affair, can be involved with something that emotionally they're just not present. There's another kind of ambiguous loss too. It's where someone is no longer physically present, but emotionally they're very much present. And I encountered that as I worked in the Army, as deployment took place, as loved ones went off for long periods of time. And physically, they weren't there, but emotionally, they were still very much in people's heart. Such an ambiguous loss, and you put those two together. What Dr. Boss helped to do is help to clarify what is it that doesn't help when people deal with one of these two different kinds of ambiguous loss. And often it's complicated with ambivalence, that sometimes people want to leave, but at the same time, they don't want to leave what it is that they're dealing with. So when ambivalence is combined with ambiguity, it makes it even more challenging for the one who's experiencing it, as well as for those who want to help them. And often it's the clergy, and hopefully they have a significant relationship with a clergy person, and that clergy person has the kind of training that can help them work through the ambiguity of their life situation. Again, Dr. Boss, and part of what I do in the sessions that I offer here at Holden, is to go through what it is that helps us to understand what it is that works, what it is that doesn't work. And I think one of the key concepts for me, coming from my own theological background, is our understanding of time. In the Old Testament, a view of time is more like a bowl in which ingredients are added and mixed, and it takes a while for the outcome to occur, like a good stew, as opposed to a concept of time in which it is viewed as a measurement. It's quantitative as opposed to qualitative. And we can do things that complicates and makes the stew bad, like self-destructive behavior, self-medications. And I did a lot of work with Vietnam veterans, and they taught me a lot about that, which you have to deal with the self-destructive behaviors first. It's then to help people to listen, like ask them, what does it mean that you're experiencing this at this time? With a faith belief that that's where God is, that he's in the midst of the darkness, he's in the midst of the pain. But the reality is it's tough to stay there. So we want to have a quick fix. And the quick fix doesn't work. And around ambiguous losses, it's true also to help them identify, talk about in a caring, accepting way, the multiplicity of feelings may be around that which is ambiguous. My father-in-law died of Alzheimer's, and it was a tough time for our family. There were ambiguous feelings around that, as we loved him, but we hated what was happening. And how do you talk about hate and love at the same time? How do you talk about not liking and liking? And that was part of our challenge. And often when we deal with tough emotional situations, changes in life, be there ambiguous or significant loss, we may hear the statement, well, it's time to move on. And they're taking a view of time more in that quantitative sense as opposed to the qualitative sense. For the reality is what helps is to understand time, especially when we're dealing with hurts and wounds, is that it's a process. And from a faith perspective, to move through the process from a sense of a loving God, that he never leaves us or forsakes us and helps us to grow with whatever our life situation is, that's so important. And I think from a faith perspective and from a clergy perspective, we have a lot to offer people when they move through this. And as a parish pastor, I realize that this is encountered over and over again in the lives of parishioners.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.